one tonight and they did a two away. I'm sure I'm wise, but.
Okay, let's make a quick recap. Morning, evening, everyone. Make a quick recap of what we said yesterday. Yesterday, we put a lot of this interesting trailer with these donut. Well, one was a donut filled with meat. Oh, trailer number one. And number two was a case of the latke filled with meat. Those are two trailers. So he went through a little bit of the halachas of the roiv and ikar. Let's just find where we are here. So we said that, generally speaking, you decide, if you've got a food that's cooked together, two foods cooked together, but I said, generally speaking, you make a brocha on one of them. The ikar, that's a mishnah, you make a brocha on the ikar, that part of the topple. The question is, how you determine what is the ikar? So there's two ways of doing this. Then for the Mishmaru's Mashma, that if a person has a particular food he wants, that is called the Ikka. Let's just see if we can find that Mishmaru. I want to show you that Mishmaru actually on the side, if I can find it. That's the first criteria, Mishmaru, Reish Beis Lamed Aleph. That's the first part of Mishmaru here, Reish Beis Lamed Aleph. I think that is the first criteria, that is the first deciding factor of whether you go... What is his main kavana? Who ikel in the bracha? Vasheni nifta with bracha. So I'm saying, generally speaking, it's quite clear. But the mosh, let's say, for example, someone puts fruit in a yogurt. Now, most people, I think, will tell you the yogurt's the ikka, and the fruit is meant to enhance the yogurt. That's how most people tell you. But this person might be the other way around. He likes the fruit, and he wants to make the fruit a bit nicer, so he puts it into yogurt. So, the thing with Roy there, look at what is his kavana in. That is rule number one. Rule number two is sometimes it's very hard to know what your main kavana is. That happens a lot of times you're eating. You don't know what your main kavana is. Let's say, we said yesterday, for example, stuffed cabbage. So you've got meat, minced meat inside the cabbage. What is your main kavana? It's hard to know. I mean, some people might say the meat is the main thing. Other people might say the cabbage is the main thing. It's very hard to know. So if you don't know, you go bus a roif. That's what we said yesterday. Yeah? So we said, a fruit cocktail. Someone's got a fruit salad. Let's say from something for afters. At the end of his meal. He's got a mixture of peaches, pineapples, strawberries, pears, kiwis, all different sorts of things. So, let's say, it depends what you've got most of them, in that case, yeah? Then, according to many possibilities, you look at what is the royal meat. Is most of it ha'eitz there, or most of it ha'adoma? If most of it's ha'eitz, you make ha'eitz. If most of it's ha'adoma, you make ha'adoma. Chayadom, Mishabur doesn't agree with this, Mishabur, Chayadom holds that since each one's nicker by itself, you can see each one, you make two separate rockets. But the Mishabur doesn't go with that, Mishabur says you go boss a roiv. That's what we said yesterday. Then we came on to the case of mazones. Mazones is actually unique. If it's a minority ingredient, that upgrades everything. So here with the donut, pastas, the rabbanim seem to be taking on, which I think it's quite posh, maybe. But when a person's got a donut, you put the piece of meat, you put the meat inside there. That is l'chora topple. The main thing is the donut. So l'chora pastas is that you make a mazones on a donut that covers everything. If you have a substantial amount of meat there, so then it's already more questionable then. It's maybe like a question we spoke about yesterday where a person's got a burger, a mazones roll, which I must tell you, when I was looking at the Sforum actually, one of the Sforum is very anti-mazones bread, and he writes there that mazones roll is probably hamotzi. Mm-hmm. He writes actually, he's not very happy with the mazones roll at all. It's going back quite a number of years. But I said, many people use mazones roll, so he tied us to say for that when you've got a mazones roll with a burger inside, a sausage inside, you have to make two separate brothers.
Well, go back to the donut, definitely the meat is not to enhance the donut. You can't say the meat is there to enhance it.
Why not?
Why
should it be? What's it for?
I don't know.
It's not to eat by itself. It's to make the donut a bit more tasty. I mean, that's what they're thinking. That's what they're trying to do.
The donut's as tasty as it is. Okay,
straight. The donuts have got cream on it. Yeah. What's that for, that cream? What are you putting the cream in? That's meant to enhance the donut.
They're enhancing
the donut by putting a piece of meat in.
Would you have a plain donut?
Yeah, but I'm saying that. Why do you not go for the plain donut? Why do you go for the one with the cream in?
Tasty, but
why do you go... Why do you go for the one with the cream in?
As an extra.
An extra. So this meat is also an extra. It tastes nice. It tastes nice. The combination is nice. But the main thing is the pus. The main thing is the donut. Pus. When it comes to, what you call it, the latke with the mincemeat, I find that a bit more complicated in that case. Meister, one of the rabbonim said to me, Pastor, you go boss a robe, you just make our doma on the latke. The other one, he wasn't too sure about this actually, as far as I know. I've got the right way around. Actually, I couldn't write it down, I forgot to write it down. Yeah, most of Bonham said, about a latke, most of Bonham said you go boss a roiv there. You go boss a roiv, the roiv ingredient, which is latke, and therefore you make hardoma. So it's not so simple, yeah? I said, yeah, it's not so posh. Okay, anyways, let's move on to the next one. What's a very interesting topic, this over here. Donuts, legabe, the shaila of fish lakum. Now, hopefully, it's not really so relevant. Most of the donuts that we're buying, hopefully, are cooked by Eden. But there was a time, I don't know how they did it actually, it was, I think Morrison's were about to doing some donuts. Yeah. It could well be the person who gave that shlocha there to put the oven on and everything, no problem. But let's say, for example, the question is, let's say, if a non-Jew cooks a donut for you, is there a problem to have it Moshe here? Moshe likes it with a non-Jew, so you want to know, the non-Jew cooked the donut, is there a problem now to eat it? Let's start from the beginning. So Chazal made a gzeira, number one, is that any food... Well, generally, it was a few exceptions, but generally, food cooked by a non-Jew for a Jew cannot be eaten by the Eid. Rashi learns in one place is Issa Chasnas that we don't want to get too friendly with them, and therefore Chazal made a ban on a non-Jew cooking for a Jew.
Yes.
There's a few conditions. The other was showing him learn, Rashi somewhere else says the reason is because you're worried he might put trefa food in, actually, not kosher food in. He might mix food which is not kosher. Whatever it is, Chazal do not allow Bishlaka. But quite right, Chazal made two conditions for this, which is very logical. Condition number one is that any food that can be eaten raw, there's no issa. You must realize, let's go, like the main, most we show him take on, that issa Bishlakum is as chasnas, you get too friendly with them. You must realize the kirva, the feeling of gratitude to someone who cooks for you something which you could eat anyway without him doing it, is not so strong. When a non-Jew cooks a carrot for me, I mean, it's very nice what he's done, but I don't feel so indebted to him. I could have had that carrot all anyway. So there's not such a kirva, there's not such a strong closeness when
the Mashpia puts the oven on, there's no kirva. How do you explain that?
First, you made a barrier already. You separated.
You put the oven on, but if you've got the kirva, the kirva is there. I mean,
no, you've made it very awkward, actually, because the goy knows he can't do anything. You made the you've shown the goy clean and separate.
I think
it actually makes it very, very awkward. Because you've shown him that you can't do it for us. We have to do something for you.
Yeah.
That makes a barrier. That makes the separation.
Yeah.
So rule number one is any food item that can be cooked, okay, eaten raw, there is no bishlakum. So what's the example? Carrots, tomatoes, all these things. If a non-Jew cooks it, there's no problem. But what can't be eaten raw? A potato. So, for example, if someone told me he had this in the kitchen, he had some some potatoes cut up in a frying pan on the side of his worktop, and he was in the, what he was doing, he went out. When he came back, the frying pan was on a cooker. So he said to the cleaner there, what's going on? He said, I know you want this for supper, and I know you're having supper soon, so I decided to do you a favour. A nice favour she did. There's no potatoes for supper. The end of the potatoes. She's cooked the potatoes, I mean, it depends how far it was, but she had the potatoes were fully cooked. Let's say those potatoes cannot be eaten.
Pan needs kashrut.
Yeah, there's a shaila about the pan, actually, is machlokes machaba, because two shitters, that we pass the ikka shitters, the bishl machaba holds, that bishl akum, the pan needs to be kashrut. So you've got a problem. That makes a separation, it makes it very awkward. No, she was trying to do a favour, it's very nice what she was trying to do, I must tell you, she was very nice about what she was trying to do, but that is a problem of bishl akum. So that's rule number one. Rule number one is very simple, if the food is not edible raw, then the issa of bishl akum sets in. Number two is, what? Number two is an interesting rule, this over here. Number two is that if the food that the non-Jew cooks has to be a choshul food. Don't forget, you're having a gratitude to the non-Jew. If the food that a non-Jew cooks for you is not very special, it's not a food that the shulchan aruch loshen is, the gevurah loshen is, oila al shulchan malachim. It's a food that a king would serve at the choshul meal. many possible holders love Dukkha, what Prince Charles or King Charles does, whatever. It's what you would give. Would you invite someone over for a nice meal to have?
Plate
and
chips. I wonder why the king
ran
with a plate of chips.
It's a good question. I must tell you, I must tell you, you can buy in restaurants chips, steak and chips. It's not, it's a good question. I must say, I've been wondering about this for a long time, it's about chips. Is chips called Oda Shulchan Nochem? It's true. Pashtas for a nice meal. Someone told me, actually, he just took someone out. I don't know if someone told me, he took someone out for, he made a whole business meeting or something. So I just asked him, by the way, so what did he serve? Do you know what he told me? Steak and chips.
What?
Steak and chips, he said. You hear that, Moshi? A shame I wasn't invited. A shame I wasn't invited, but it's not bad. So I must tell you, it's an interesting point, this. And a nice little bit question, the possible about chips. I mean, I don't, you're right. Normally, a shibabrok is a chosh from me. I don't think you would serve chips generally. It's not, I mean, it's just like a, maybe it's a short way of doing it.
Chips for the weddings?
What?
The juice
for the kids.
For the kids.
For the kids, not for the general
the
public.
The
what?
The juice for the kids with the elderly.
Yes, I don't know. Chips is a good question, actually. I don't know. Actually, generally, potatoes generally are something which is a problem. Generally, potatoes, let's say roast potatoes. So you can't eat them raw. So you've got condition number one, which is a problem. And condition number two is this oil al shulchan malachim. So pashtas, that would be a problem. That chol should be a problem to have that if a non-Jew cooks it for you. Who had then cooked potatoes? They're nice to possibly look at each min how it is. Pashtas, cooked potatoes also choshen. Yeah, cooked potatoes also get chasna sometimes. Not, it's either one.
But
either
nowadays you can make choshen out of everything.
What? First, I'm not sure if you're right.
A chef makes you rubbish.
Sardines, would you call sardines choshev? Oila shom, I don't think, I don't think sardines are called oila shom malachim.
No.
I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah, but I think so. I don't think guests will come back to your house if you serve them sardines for a kosher meal. I don't think they'll come back to you.
Well,
it's a
cheap. It's Rice Krispies, it's got the emblem of the.
Yeah, but that's the man with breakfast, it's not a kosher meal. It has to be a kosher meal that they're serving. Has to be, so it's a good question. It's a very good question. What exactly is? It's a bit of a grey area, this oil al shulchan malachim. I mean, a lot of foods are like this. Nowadays, many, many foods are like
changed,
this, actually.
Changed.
Sorry?
Things have changed.
Things have changed. Things have changed. I mean, the miser, we eat almost anything. The miser, you eat almost anything. And I think people would have, would invite people. I don't know about mincemeat. Is mincemeat choshev? It's not, we call it mincemeat choshev, I don't know. Would you serve mincemeat as a nice meal? But the mice, they say, once you take meat, meat is always considered choshev, and therefore any sort of meat that a non-Jew cooks is a... Actually, someone just asked me recently, it's a good shout, actually, it's cholot called Oda Shulchan Malachim. So, good question. Cholot, I mean, the mice, we like it, but would you serve it at a... I don't know, the mice, you serve it at Shabbos lunch, you'd serve it, you would serve it.
They wouldn't eat it.
What?
They wouldn't eat it.
I was told a mummish on a king. It means a choshev of food that you would invite people to. Personally, I think cholot should be included. I must tell you, I'm not 100% sure. Someone spoke to him recently about this. I'm not sure.
Cholot should be what?
Should be shulchan malachim. I mean, the king would never eat cholot. Yeah? You never have a banquet cholot. I don't think he's going to serve that. But it doesn't mean literally a banquet. It means a choshev of meal. Would you serve it? I think you would. It's hard to. It's very hard to know. It comes to this with donuts. It's very hard to know exactly. Yeah. Now. There's a big shiloh with donuts. First of all, what are donuts? So here, there's a big question in Shulchan Aruch. We haven't got time to go through the whole thing. But donuts are very unique because a lot of people who make donuts have a normal bread dough.
Fried.
And then they deep fry it. It's a normal bread dough which is deep fried. Now let's go back a stage. If someone takes normal bread dough and puts it in the oven, it's hamotzi. There's no question about that, right? It's flour, water, and you put it in the oven, you mix it, whatever you do, you put it in the oven, that's hamotzi. What about a bread dough which is cooked? What's the halacha with that? So this is halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Samaches, Yud Gimel. Very interesting halacha. What?
Cooked in oil.
It's deep fried. Most people make, as far as I know, most people who make donuts nowadays don't just have a frying pan. They actually deep fry it. So that's called cooking. Yeah. It's submerged in liquid, yeah? I mean, I don't know if you can. I must say, many years ago, I was giving a shit about this, actually.
Always close to the top.
What?
Always close to the top. You can't.
I mean, they turn it around. It's always mixed in liquid. I must say, many years ago, I was giving a shit
about it. With the breadcrumbs. Remember we discussed the breadcrumbs? If you fry
same thing. I must tell you, many years ago I was giving a shit about this, and someone showed me that wheat pork in little, I think, very interesting. It had a donut maker that was like an oven. There was no, wasn't it? Was like a, it went, it was like a domo. You made it in like some sort of domo. Okay, it was a special design. Now that's a much worse shire then. That's mum's bread. Unless, we'll come to that bit. So I said that is shire number one. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Kusam Ches Yud Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says that this dough over here, what? This dough is a question. Dovah shibli losoi ova in bishloi tigna. So that on that the machal brings two shittas. Now shit number one is einay mevorach rav hamitzi. You do not make hamotzi, it's out of the parasha of bread. Since it's cooked, the dough is cooked. Don't make a mistake about bagels. Bagels are cooked. Yeah, bagels are the dough is made. You put it in boiling hot water, you scald it, and then but then afterwards it's baked. So that is hamotzi. We're talking about you're finishing off this dough with a cooking process, which is much like our donuts. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, the first shitta is Einam Avrochal of hamotzi. You do not make hamotzi. Because I'm like, because you go after the fact that it's cooked. Then the Machal says, Yesh Cholkim. No, others disagree. And they say it's got a din like bread, since the dough is a bread dough. Therefore, it's what you call it? It's got the same din as Hamaitzi. On that, the Ramah says, we are Makel. That means we, B'nai Ashkenaz, follow opinion number one, that it's called cooked. And therefore, it is not subject to bread. Now, you must realize that it comes out now that a donut, according to us, slots into the parasha of Bishul Akum. That means, had it been like the first opinion of Machaba, that it's bread, then it would be the head of Pas Akum. You with me? No, I've lost a lot of people, I can see. That line has lost a lot of people. True? Yeah. If this bread dough, which starts off as a dough, and then it's cooked, is still called bread, which according to one shit on Chabad, it's called bread. Then you have a heter of pasakum. If you learn that it's gone out of the parasha of bread, and it's called cooked, it now slots into the parasha of bishlakum, which is much stricter. Pasakum has got a heter, if a baker makes bread, there's a heter, a lot of people have it. Bishlakum hasn't got a heter if it's made by a baker, or made by a company. It's much worse. So we, Pashtus, the Ramah, is telling us that we hold it's called cooked. And therefore, for us, this donut is called a cooked item, and it now subject to the question of Bishul Akum. The only thing you can say now is, you're probably saying, what? Why might it not be Bishul Akum?
That's it. Not so the Shulchan Aruch.
Very good. So the question is now, is a donut Olah Shulchan Aruch? So it's true, you don't have to have it for the main part of the meal, but is it brought as afters? It could be served as a dessert.
Yeah, they would bring it dessert.
Would they want?
Yeah, we would bring donuts afterwards, yeah.
No, in a choshva meal, I'm talking about.
After the meal, they'd bring donuts out as a...
That's interesting. At this point, I would have thought it's a problem. It's
a part.
Say for Rabbi Forst, the right what he writes, I'm actually reading out what he writes on Rabbi Forst. He writes on Rabbi Forst over here, donuts. So he brings this machlokes about, well, it's pas or thing. He says, if we accept that donuts are Bishul Akum, he says, I don't think they're served to guests, important guests, therefore there's no problem. Chiddush. In another sefer, I saw, he makes a chiddush between big donuts and small donuts. I know what he means. The big donuts, he says, would not be served to but other ones, small ones would. The meister, most poskim take on that it is called Bishul Akum. It's the maaseh, it could be served at the end of a meal. And therefore, if a non-Jew cooks a donut for you, you're going to have a problem. The only way to get around this, like you said, someone said before, I said, to get around this problem is lavash in the bakery. What do they do in a bakery? They've got non-Jewish people working in a bakery. So how do you get around this problem? The terrace is like everything else. I mean, well, a pasta can be more quality, but the maaseh, what you do is, if you get the Jew to light the fire, so he starts off the fire.
Or
he tells, oh, whatever it does. Then, in that case there, it's all mutter to have. That's probably what they do. So the mice, I think the possible general mutton, that these donuts are called Bishul Akum. And therefore, it's a problem. The Oyla Shulchan Malachim, they take on, it's called Oyla Shulchan Malachim. It's called Bishul Akum. It's cooked. It's Oyla Shulchan Malachim. It's a problem. You can't eat it raw. So it's got all the problems of Bishul Akum. And the only way to have it, really, to make it mutter to have, is the Chayra, is if a Yid puts on the fire or does something along the fire process to make it that's
possible. What's going on in Morrison's there?
What?
Morrison's.
So in Morrison's, Pashtus, what he did. Yeah.
So it's not the same as bread.
I'm telling you, it's not the same as bread. That's what I'm telling you. This is much worse than bread because bread has got a head of pas palta. But this is not. This doesn't fit into the rule of pas.
That's
What?
Everybody.
The Sfardim are more machmir. Sfardim are... The Machaber says, first of all, that it's called Bishul. He brings another shitter that is called Afia. There's two shitters. Pasha's the first shitter, is the main one. So even for the Sfardim, it's a problem. So Lechore, it's a problem. This thing is a problem. Unless these happen, probably a Moses, what it was. He put fire on. What?
Unless he likes the oil, or he sets the
fire. Yeah. So once you do that, then you've got no problem. All right, wait, sorry. Bon appetit.
Go
ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.